Praise the Lord, everybody. I thank you for coming out to our new series, Sunday School. We're doing a new one that we just started last week, so I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Well, let's come to our lesson in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what we're about to learn today, and I ask you, God, that you use it to your glory. And Lord, that I pray that you'll help us practice these spiritual disciplines and lead us and guide us into all truth through the Holy Ghost. For it is by Jesus' glory in his name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you knew it was coming sooner or later. We got a little homework. Actually, I'd like you to read this particular chapter more than once. I'd like you to read it throughout this series. Isaiah chapter 58. Because a lot of it actually comes from that. That's kind of one of our foundation chapters for this series. And the series is called Hunger for God, and it's a play on words. It's basically those who hunger after righteousness and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But also it's about fasting. Now, last week we spent a little time talking about holiness. And this is one of those spiritual tools or disciplines that you use to become closer to God, and it's to humble yourself. If you go back in the Old Testament and you begin reading the words where they afflict their souls, oftentimes to afflict your soul, it could have several meanings, but oftentimes it means to fast. To fast. And so that's how they say it, to afflict your soul. And we talked about striving for holiness, and I know that's a definition that's difficult to pin down, because at some point you got to have standards. Your first standard bearer is what? What did we say last week? The Bible. The Bible. That's your first standard bearer. Everything we do begins with the Word of God. And then you got to have other standards sometimes. I mean, there's such a thing as etiquette, decorum, niceties. The Bible says to be kind, for example. Well, what does that mean? How do you be kind to one another? Well, as Jesus comes into our heart, he permeates our life, he changes us basically from the inside out. He even said as much when he talked to the Pharisees. And he said, on the outside, and it's an interesting way he compared them, he said, you guys look like whitewashed graves, or sepulchres, he said. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. And that was an offense to them. They didn't like that, especially when you tell it in front of a whole bunch of people, a whole multitude, because they're the leaders of the religious movement. They were the ones who were supposed to help reveal God and talk to people and get them into the worship, but yet they themselves were basically making it so much legalistic that you couldn't worship. You couldn't worship without going through steps. And so there again, you have standards that you have to follow. So, I mean, this thing, holiness, it all stems from the inside out. Jesus works with us, and as we go, which, by the way, is one of the purposes for Sunday School, is to get a little more in depth into the scriptures. So when you ask about the importance of holiness, we said this last week, this is a little bit of review, Hebrews 12 and 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I think that's pretty important. So we need to follow after holiness. And I think last week we established that fasting is an important thing, because we talked about that it was one of the big wins. In chapter 6 of Matthew, if you study the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself listed in order, and you can see the scriptures I have up there, chapter 6, verses 2, 5, and 16. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, when you give, and when you pray, and when you fast. Now see, we typically read these scriptures, and sometimes we like to pick the first two, but we ignore the third one. Well, I don't know that we really should be doing that. In fact, I think we should practice all of these disciplines. And that's what they are. They're disciplines. Things that we do. Here we go. We also said last week, we kind of gave a definition that was derived from all the different biblical fasts that occurred. Ronnie Floyd, the power of prayer and fasting. Ronnie Floyd stated that based on his research of the scriptures and fasting, he said that fasting is the abstinence from food with a spiritual goal in mind or a spiritual purpose, to which I'll agree. I agree that fasting shouldn't be used just because it's the latest thing to do. Or if you hear that someone else is fasting, well, I think I'm just going to fast too and not have a real spiritual goal or spiritual purpose behind it. What I want to do today is start to get a little more specific. There are different kinds of fasts. There are different ways to fast. And there's different reasons to fast. Today is message 2. I simply call it the deliverance fast. Deliverance. Is there anybody here besides me struggle with sin? Yeah, we all do. Even John, the writer of the gospel, but in 1 John, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The thing is, we all have this problem. And there's another scripture where it says we're not tempted with trials that is not common to men. There are things that we all have in common and that we struggle over. How do we get over that? How do we overcome that? What do we do about it? Well, this is where we get into. Now, today I'm being specific. This is called the deliverance fast. Let's read from God's word here out of Matthew chapter 17. And by the way, I need to point out one of the scriptures, I think it's verse 21. If you're reading out of a newer translation, it may not be there. That's one of the reasons I like for you to read the King James Version. And this is where I fault the newer translations. This particular scripture, I believe, belongs in there. But in a lot of newer translations, it's removed. Let's read our story. Matthew 17, starting with verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, him being Jesus. So somebody comes to Jesus. And verse 15, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. Let's stop there for just a second. Here's a father interceding for his son. He says his son is a lunatic. And as you can see, the first word there is luna. It actually, literal translation, is like moonstruck. It's as if you were staring up to the moon, and that's it. You know, your mouth wide open, not doing anything, and that's another way of saying crazy. So here he is. He says he's a lunatic and sore vexed. Now, how's he vexed? Look what he's doing. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft in the water. He falls into the fire, it says. He falls into the water. Sounds to me like something is trying to destroy him. We'll figure out in just a second what that something is. And he says, I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Which also means allow. How long shall I allow this to go on? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. So now we know what he had. He rebuked the devil. And he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Notice that. Wait till he's by himself. Then they come up to Jesus. Well, why couldn't we do it? Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Imagine that. The disciples and unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. I'd like to make one slight digression here. When he talks about faith as much as a grain of mustard seed, Jesus knows, and we all know, we all have different amounts of faith. If you remember, we did our study in 1 Corinthians. There's actually a gift of faith. Now, this is different. The gift of faith is a much stronger faith. And by the way, Jesus, when he found great faith, like in the centurion and into the woman who touched the hem of the garment,
he marveled at it.
Oh yeah, he marveled at it. And he would say, great is thy faith. It was because faith was something, I mean, we take it for granted, but Jesus here is like, wow, you know, you guys got faith. You know, this is something he's not seen a lot of.
And it's from faith to faith.
Faith to faith. And that's the thing. And really, fasting is on that order. It's from faith to faith. But here, it's not so much the quantity of faith. Jesus just wants you to believe. You can have a little bit of faith, as small as a grain of mustard seed, he says. He's comparing your faith to as small as a grain of mustard seed, and you still can do these things, is what he's saying. That's my only point I want to make. But here we go. Here's our key verse. Howbeit, this kind of what? Yeah. This kind of demon or devil, he said in this place, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now what you're going to note is as you read the scriptures, especially in Acts and some other places, prayer goes hand in hand with fasting. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But what we need to recognize is that there are different kinds of spirits, different kinds of demons, different kinds of evil out there. I mean, we think of Michael, he's the strongest of the archangels. At least that's how we perceive him to be. I don't know that we know that for sure. But he's always mentioned when there's war or battle to be made. So Michael, the archangel. So I'm sure we have demons and spirits who have different powers and different levels of authority, because in one of the scriptures it talks about the demons, the spirits and authorities, principalities of the air.
Lucifer, he's him.
Oh yeah.
There was one that wouldn't let the angel get to Daniel, but he had to be pretty strong to hold him up.
And we're going to talk about that one too, because Daniel was fasting when all that was happening. We'll talk about the kind of fast he was doing. But you're right, he called him the Prince of Persia. I think Eddie preached on it a little bit. Was able to withstand Gabriel. That's who he was holding back. He was able to withstand Gabriel for a time, 20 days maybe. Maybe on the 21st day, Michael came. And I don't know how this works, folks. I mean, I just know that there's something going on behind the background that we can't see. All the spiritual things that our eyes are usually blind to, but sometimes gets open to. So when we talk about this kind, I do want to show you that here it says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11 that it is possible that Satan can get the advantage of us. That's what Paul's talking about. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now I want to make it clear, my doctrinal point right here is that I do not believe that any Christian who has accepted Christ as their Savior, washed by His blood, and believe on Him can be inhabited by a demon. I do not believe that.
You're sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you are sealed. You cannot be inhabited by a demon. But, and I'm throwing this out there too, we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil knows you probably better than you know yourself. He knows how to trick you, how to deceive you sometimes.
You're a weak place.
Yes, weak places in everyone. And he knows these things. And he's going to try to use everything that he knows against you. See, his job, at least for now, is to try to take everything away from God as possible. He knows his time is short, so what's he doing right now? He's walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And so in this story we just read, there's this child, we don't know how old he is, he's trying to destroy him. So he's trying to destroy him in the fire, he's trying to destroy him in the water, and his father, I'm assuming, family, keeps rescuing him, and then finally he gets to his disciples, wants to cast them out, they can't do it, and Jesus has to do it. And then he says, but this kind goeth not out except by prayer and fasting. And I think I already mentioned, what do we need delivered from? Well, John tells us, if we say that we have no sin, I talked about this a minute ago, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So we all suffer from the effects of sin. Now, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, today I'm going to become an alcoholic. At least I don't think they do. Nobody wakes up and says, today I'm going to become addicted to internet pornography. Nobody says that I'm going to be addicted to pain medication. So how does it happen? How does all of this addiction come about, even to Christian people? What do you think? I mean, at some point you have to be exposed to it, right?
Tempted.
There you go. You get tempted. You get tempted into doing something, perhaps deceived, perhaps tricked.
Perhaps it's just a weakness. Perhaps you just don't separate yourself from the things that you need to separate yourself.
Yeah. Ah, we're...
You're not exposing yourself.
Yeah.
First time, you feel bad about it. Second time, it's not so bad.
Until it eventually becomes... It takes hold of you, or you take hold of it, maybe both. But he's right, too, in that we have a tendency of not separating ourselves, and therefore we try to intermingle with the world and the things that they do and blur the lines as to what holiness is. That's what I was talking about earlier. These lines get blurred, and it seems like that we want to stay, like, let's say we draw a line and we say that's sin. Where do we want to stay? We want right on the edge of it, don't we? We kind of creep up to it, don't we? We creep up to it sometimes and then, oops, I crossed it. Now I got to repent and get back on this other side. But I don't want to get too far, right? I mean, that's typically how some people are, unless you want to do something about it. Now, I'm going to share something with you, kind of personal right now. I probably have told you before that when I got saved, was during a revival when I was about 12 or 13 years old. What I didn't tell you is the reason that I didn't stay in church. Well, I shouldn't say the reason. There was lots of reasons. I left the church after about a year. So by the time I was 14, 15, I basically was not going to church at all, hardly at all. Well, they may still have them in some places, but sometimes they have these dumpsters that are sitting out to where the county, you could go dump your trash, you know, you haul your trash off, you go to the dump. And so we were doing that one day, me. I was kind of the oddball of the family in that I was the middle boy. My older brother was a little older than I was to where I was too young to do what he does. But yet my younger brother was too young for me, and so I was in an odd place. But yet I liked to tag along. I was like the third wheel. So when my brother's friends would come over, I'd usually go to Mom, beg Mom, let me go, and he'd have to take me along. Well, one of the times his friends were going to the dump to empty out the trash, and somebody must have got religion, because they threw away something, and there was like big grocery bags full of this something, and it was just thrown into the trash. The next thing I know, don't know if it was my brother or his friend, was dumpster diving. I mean, literally, he was just diving over and grabbing out these big grocery bags, Remember when they used to ask you paper or plastic? Well, this was the paper, the big bags of paper. Inside those bags of paper, at least three, and there may have been more, but they were full of pornography books. Full of them. Now, it would have done me a world of good if that person, if that's what happened, they gained religion and threw them away, to have burnt them. But they didn't. And my brother and his friends, they found them. Guess who's tagging along? I saw every kind of book you can probably think of that was being published, at least all the big names. And I saw even the ones that were not so well known and that had way harsher stuff in them. I saw things as a young child. I still think 13 is a young child, 13, 14 years old, that distorted my view of what relationships should be like. And it distorted my view as to how to look at women in a holy fashion. And so here I got in with this group, didn't separate myself. And there I was exposed to this material. And God, I wished that there's this magic eraser that just takes everything that you've seen that you wish you hadn't seen. Does anybody wish that besides me? You know, things you've done you wish you hadn't done. And just erase it from memory. Now, I believe God has forgiven me. I truly do. But there was a time for a while those images kept coming back. And again, I have this distorted view. I had to be delivered from them. How was I going to get delivered from them? I mean, I prayed. And do you know what? Even sometimes when I prayed, those awful images come to my mind. I mean, I needed deliverance. I was exposed to something and I let myself get involved with something that I now was addicted to it. I had to get free from it. How was I going to do this? It took me a while to understand that this was one of those kind that the devil would take and will use it against you. People who start out, I'll tell this. I know another lady. She had to have pain medication because of her back. At least that's how it started. She had one prescription bottle that said, take this medication four times a day. It was a pretty powerful pain medication. Four times a day. But later when she went back and got additional prescriptions, they changed it to three times a day instead of four. I guess they wanted to wean her off that. You know what she did? She took the medication out of the three times a day bottle, put it in the four times a day bottle. I mean, I know this for a fact. I saw it myself. Why? She got exposed to this pain medication now and became addicted, I believe, to pain medication. She didn't start out that way. She had a back problem. See, folks, we all get involved. Well, I shouldn't say we all. Many get involved in things we don't intend to get out of hand, do we? You know, you might want to talk about your being with friends. And again, this goes about the separation idea. Sometimes you get involved with friends, and before you know it, you're caught up in something you know you have no business in, but now you're there, and what do? You're exposed to this, and you become addicted to it. That's how people get addicted to television. Gee whiz, I mean, think about just in your own life, how much television do you watch? Well, my television hours, I started to notice it going up, and my Bible reading going down, and I thought, this is backwards. I thought, well, and I've told Rhonda and Aaron this already, I'm seriously contemplating giving up television completely. Actually, in the past 2 weeks, I don't think I've watched the first show. But that's more by being time poor than anything else. But do you see what I'm saying? We don't start out saying that I'm going to get addicted to this video game. We don't start out. But you know what? We expose our children to it. And before long, they're hooked to where all they can think about is the video game, and they can't think about their studies at school.
They're babysitters.
Well, and TV becomes babysitters, and grades start to plummet. Do you see where I'm heading with this? This is things that we get addicted to that we didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm going to get addicted to this. No, we expose ourselves to it, and it's like Ashley said just a moment ago, we first time we feel really bad about it. Second time it's, yeah, kind of bad about it. Maybe third time not so bad. And then before long you're justifying it. You're justifying the things you do. So how do I get delivered from the things that I saw? How do you get delivered from these things? Drugs, I already talked about that. Alcohol, tobacco. Well, overeating. Okay, here we go. I need deliverance from overeating. Yeah, I know I'm stepping on a lot of toes. Here we go. The good news is I can preach on me, so you can be comfortable. I'm preaching on me. Well, how am I going to overcome this addiction of overeating? Well, let me tell you what I am doing. As of Friday, and partly because of this lesson, this series we're doing, when I knew I was going to be teaching on deliverance fasting, what's the scripture say? Physician, heal thyself. Yeah, it does me a lot of good to get up here and start talking about this stuff if I can't do it, right? Well, as of Friday, the biggest thing that has always been a hindrance to my overeating. What is it, Aaron?
Soda.
Soda. Sodas. Pop. You know, it's something you might think is harmless. Or you might not think is harmful. But for me, I don't know how much you guys put away, but I could put away easily 6, 8, 10, 12 cans in one day. I know. A 2-liter can be gone within a few hours or less. I mean, just by myself.
You take a diet?
Well, I tried it, and I can't stand it. Diet sodas, I've tried all the methods. Tried it all. Except I didn't try the deliverance fasting. So I did it. As of Friday, I prayed and I skipped lunch and asked to be delivered specifically from sodas. Now, talk about your unbelief. Here I thought, all right, gee whiz, now I'm not going to have sodas. I'm going to have a bad caffeine headache in the morning. And, you know, and of course, I don't know how many of you know, but if you have a sugar withdrawal, back of your neck is very, very, very painful, extremely painful. So there's the unbelief kicking in. If you go back and read Mark, I think it's chapter 9, the same story that we just read a minute ago, gives us a few more details. And the father says, yeah, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, so here I am saying the same thing. And I'm asking to be delivered from sodas. Well, the reason I think God has answered my prayer is because as of Friday, I've not had the first headache, first caffeine headache, first sugar withdrawal. Now, how do you go from cold turkey, cutting it off, cold turkey? God has healed me from that, has delivered me from that. So now you know, all of you can hold me accountable. So if you see me reach for a soda, yes, slap my hand, because it might be out of habit. See what I'm getting at? Habits. Addictions, besetting sins. See, I don't want to become a diabetic. The doctor thinks I might be on the brink. I don't want to become a diabetic. And so that's the first step. There's other steps, but that's the first step. And so when we start talking about how do we go about this, maybe, one of us here, some of us here, more than one, has a problem with gossip. Trust me, everybody likes to tell some new thing. We tend to get itching ears, you know. And sometimes we have a best friend, might be your spouse, but you got to remember, they have a best friend, and then that best friend has a best friend, and That's how gossip gets spread, because we always say, don't tell anybody, right? But it still gets spread. So everybody's got a best friend. So mark that down. Everybody's got another best friend. So when you tell them something that shouldn't be told, and I'm guilty of this, you shouldn't be told, it will get out.
It's never told the same way.
No, it's never told the same way. By the time it goes, sometimes just two iterations, it's different than what you told it in the beginning. Here's one. Have you ever... Oh, Lord, I'm really in confessional mode right now. Have you ever... Somebody ask you something or somebody say something and just spur of the moment, real quick, you say something and immediately you know that's not true. You ever said that? You ever done any of that? And I'm sitting there going, why did I say that? That was not true at all. Oh my gosh, you know, I'm sitting here while the person's talking, they think I might be interested in what they're saying, but I'm sitting here repenting. And I should have confessed to the person. Well, I mean, I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to look something. I didn't want to look like, you know, hey, have you seen this? Have you tried this before? Oh, sure. You know, that was great. And I've never done it before. But you don't want to look silly, do you? I mean, but it just pops out. Just popped out. Maybe I'm the only one with this problem.
Is that what you call a convenient lie?
Yeah, or sometimes, Dorana, I'm going to confess on Dorana here too. So, yeah, Dorana uses sometimes to me, not to other people, but to me especially, lies of omission. Omission. I'm going to tell on you here. Her knee was swollen up, and I don't know how many of you use instant messaging. And I was asking her through instant messaging. I was at work, and she was at home. And I said, well, how's your knee? She said, sore. And I wrote back, are you icing it down? And then there was this long pause. Unusually long, you know, there was this long pause. And then came back, the message said, I'm doing that now. And I wrote back, I said, you just went and got the ice pack, didn't you? She admitted it. I know, I'm going to suffer for this one when I get out of here. But, hey folks, I mean, we all need to be delivered from these things. Gossip, lying, cursing, even. How about this? Bitterness, pride. Do our feelings get hurt too easily? Maybe we got some bitterness that's down there. Maybe we got some pride, or maybe we got some jealousy. So we want to be delivered from these particular sins. So now let's talk specifically. What are we going to do? Well, first of all, when Danny said it earlier about separation, that's one of the things that actually helped me to overcome the addiction into that unclean material that I was looking at, is substitution. Substitution. Feed on the Word of God and don't feed on the things that you shouldn't be feeding on. I will not have Cinemax and what's the other? HBO and probably Showtime, whatever the ones that... There's a nickname for Cinemax called Skinemax, because what do they show in the evening time? A lot of skin. I will not have that. I will not have it in my house because I don't want to accidentally see it. It could be a besetting sin and it could expose me again to that sin, and I don't want to get addicted to that, so I just will not have it. I don't care if they offer it free. I tell them to cut it off. Substitution. Seeking God, reading your Bible, think on the things that are holy, singing and speaking spiritual songs, and avoid that carnal food. Feeding on spiritual food. Now this is in your study guide, so look where it talks about guidelines for deliverance fasting. Well, first of all, choose the length of fast. Now, some of you may not can go a whole day. Can you do one meal? Can you go a whole day?
One meal?
One meal will help. Look, it's about afflicting your soul. Think about it. What was the first sin?
Eating that fruit and olives.
There you go. Eating that fruit. So is it, you know, it's unremarkable that denying yourself food is a way of humbling yourself. It's not unheard of here. So Choose the length of your fast. And by the way, keep a journal. I keep a journal when I do any kind of fasting or sometimes just praying. And as a side note, I keep a journal of my innermost thoughts for God and confessions for God. I have a file on my computer, which I don't care if you know the name or not. It's called Conversations, and I have the month and the day. These are conversations I have between me and God that I put down in writing. Now, on my deathbed, I might give out that password. Right now, the files are encrypted. Then you'll find out what the real Earl has been like and the struggles he's gone through all these years. Because I put down my innermost thoughts, my deepest concerns and thoughts to God and things I need to be delivered from. And they go in this file. And every time I add to it, I encrypt it. And it's password protected. And maybe on my deathbed, I'll give that password out. And then when I'm gone, I won't care. I'll be in heaven and you can read what maybe it'll be of some value. But if you think I don't have struggles, I have struggles. But if you want to keep a journal by hand, writing, that's good too. Just keep it in a safe place. Lock it up if you have to. But keep some kind of writing. You'll be amazed, I am, a year from now, after writing something that you just thought there was no way to get out from this, a year from now.
Amazing the progress you will make in a year.
Exactly. The things I go back and look at now that I was seeing that I was struggling with, that now it's like, I don't even think about that anymore. So here we go. Guidelines for fasting. Choose the length of fast. Are you going to do one meal? Are you going to do one day or multiple days? Choose that. And don't bite off more than you can chew, and no pun intended. If you haven't done a longer fast, do one meal. Or, if you need to, do without the pleasure foods. You know, maybe just eat plain foods, ordinary foods. And if you're used to hamburgers and who knows what else, you name it. I mean, this is your decision. Do without those for either a day or at least one meal.
Do without biscuits and chicken.
Biscuits and chicken. Is that might be her favorite pleasure food here. All right, so do without that. This is afflict your soul time, a time to come closer to God in this way.
Food is a phrase that's used in the Bible.
Yeah. Daniel, and we'll talk about that too in the Daniel fast.
You do without chicken and dumpling the whole lot, but we don't get them.
Well, we can't count that because we've got to count what you do on a regular basis.
Just like your soda. It's the same thing. You know, people, and when we were talked about it in another service at another church. It's not necessarily a whole meal. It's not necessarily a whole day or week. It can be a special thing that you have to have every day that you can do away with and take that time that you use it and talk to God during that time too.
Exactly. That's
just a favorite thing.
See, you're denying yourself that pleasure for the specific goal or purpose of getting closer to God. Did you have something?
Maybe you and I should give up our deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs. But I'm kind of like Andy. I don't get that often. So, but yeah, pleasure foods. Exactly what he's talking about here. So kind of come up with that. And then when you write this stuff down, now I know I probably gave you more detail than I needed to when during my confessional, but don't be so vague. For example, I put down here, I want to be delivered from pornography. You don't have to put down every thought you had or anything like that. Just say what you want to be delivered from. If you're hooked on pain medications, if you're having difficulty getting away from the television or any of this stuff that I listed earlier, gossip, lying, pride, any of those, bitterness, put that down and fast for that. And then this is what we were just talking about. Choose how you will fast. Abstain from all food or abstain only from the pleasure foods and drinks. And remember, fasting goes hand in hand with praying. Pray earnestly for deliverance, and what? Believe that God will free you from that bondage. Believe. When Jesus, we read the story up here, it was because of their unbelief. Okay, we're going to end up here. We're going to wrap up. Let's talk about confession for just a moment. I just did a little bit of that, probably more than usual. Even went so far as to confess with Rhonda and some others. So I'll pay for that one. But the thing is, when is it appropriate and when should you do it? I've got that in your study guide. How public should your confession be? Well, I was reading Dr. Towns' book, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough, and I tend to agree with what he says here. He says, you should include in your circle of confession all those who were included in your circle of sin. Think about that. He says, if it was a private sin, confess it privately to God. It's between you and God. If it's a private sin. If only a few people know it.
Don't confess it to a gossiper.
Oh, no. Definitely don't confess it to a gossiper. Try to avoid those at all costs. Of course, if a gossiper is part of that circle of sin, they're going to know it anyway and they're going to spread it. But the point is, if it's between you and your spouse, that's the scope of your confession, between you and your spouse, and each of you can hold each other accountable. And God can free you from that. If you should sin against the church, and I think he says, and the whole world, this governor just recently, what did he confess to? Which, you know what, that's becoming so commonplace, confessing to an affair. Oh, here we go, there's another one. You know, Republican, Democrat, I don't care what you are, they're all out there. All of them are having these things, and I think partly it's because of power. They become so lifted up, prideful of themselves, that they think they're immune to this. But look how many people it's brought down. And in that case, he confessed publicly. So do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do we want to be delivered from things? Choose and pray in a method that works for you, and you need to search your heart. Let the Lord search your heart. And I want to leave you with this one scripture. Remember, Isaiah 58 is our homework assignment. Look at this. Verse 6 of Isaiah 58. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. This would be the deliverance fast. I hope this is helpful to you. If you have more questions, I'll be glad to answer as many as I can. But study on this, meditate on this, and pray about this, and practice this discipline for your life, and be delivered from these besetting sins, and you'll see God start doing things for you, working through you, and I think you'll be amazed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for these words, these scriptures you give us. And I do ask you, Lord, that you'll do some awesome, amazing things through us. And God, that you'll help us to practice these disciplines and become closer to you, that we may become even stronger children of God. Bless this congregation, Lord, for the sake and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.